Have you ever walked into a situation where you are immediately aware of the fact that the way that things are being handled are less than effective and less than efficient? Have you been there? We walked into our Bible study time this morning, and one of our young men in the group said, "I would have been here earlier if it hadn't been for those stupid drivers that I was following." And I said, "I'm going to talk about that this morning in the sermon." And I said, "But I can't talk about drivers or I'll never get to the text." And so that's all we're going to say about that. I have been in situations, oftentimes been in situations, where I see what's happening and I just want to get up and fix it. Have you been there? You know, there are different types of people in the world. There are some people who just cannot stand by and do nothing. They have to get involved. If they see a situation, they got to do something. And the possibilities of what they might do are quite endless. Some examples would be they might start complaining about the way that things are handled. I've got to be real careful here because I don't want to name names of different types of people or who fits that description. But there are people that just, when things aren't going right, their go-to answer is, well, let's complain about it. Another type of person might tell the people, "Hey, you're doing this wrong. Let me show you how to do it right." Have you ever met a person like that? Another type of person that would deal with this situation might just say, "Please move. I'll take care of this for you," and just try to do it themselves. If I am honest, I've done all three of those things in my lifetime. And you probably have too, but that's all right. But on the other side of that, there are people in the world, few maybe, but there are people in the world that are not bothered by this whatsoever. They can see people who are inefficient and ineffective and wasting time and money, and it's just like, "Oh, it's all right, no big deal." They're content to wait patiently, no matter the situation. They're empathetic toward the individuals and would never do anything to them that would ever make them feel bad about themselves. But let's be honest, those people are very few and far between. Amen? Yeah? Okay. So let's think about it for a minute. You and I have thoughts every day, and to us, the way that we think is very practical, very logical. It is a rational way of thinking, right? When we think through things, it's like, this makes sense. And when we come across people who don't think the same way that we think, depending upon our how much time we've spent with the Lord that day, our response will be one of a various range of possibilities. And I don't have to define those ranges for you. You know, to us, the way we think makes sense. And when other people don't agree with our way of thinking, oftentimes we think, "Hey, there's something wrong with those people." Not with us. There's something wrong with them, right? Well, as Forrest Gump would put it, Mama always says, "Stupid is as stupid does." And so if we're honest, we would have to admit that we think that our thoughts are better than other people's thoughts. Whether we're talking about politics, religion, how to raise a child, how to coach a baseball or a football team. That's starting to meddle. I need to move on. Or how somebody ought to do his or her job. All of those things fall under the purview of our thoughts being better than their thoughts, and they need to do it our way. Our way of thinking makes absolutely perfect sense to us. And we cannot understand how anybody with any sense at all could ever disagree with us. And you know what? We don't do this just with ineffective and inefficient people. We also do this with God. We do. We don't understand why would God do something like this. God needs to listen to me. Many people in the world today believe that they could do a better job running the universe than God. They think that they know more than God. They think that they're smarter than God, and that God could learn a few things if he would just listen to them. Well, in Isaiah chapter 55, God's way of thinking is being compared to man's way of thinking. And notice what the prophet Isaiah said in these verses. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I think, honestly, that one of the hardest things for a person to accept is that God does not think the same way that we do. God does not think the same way that we do. And one of the easiest things for a person to do is to lose sight of God's plan and purpose in particular situations in life. We don't understand how God is thinking, and therefore, as we find ourselves in these situations, not knowing how God's thinking, then we don't understand that he has a plan. But we want to make our plan work, right? I've heard it said, you know, men make plans and God laughs. But we do. We make plans. And we want to do what we want to do, and we want it to do it. We want to do it our way. Well, sometimes when we're so wrapped up in wanting to do it my way, when I'm so wrapped up in wanting to do it my way, I lose sight of God's plan and purpose. So in the conclusion of our story of the life of Jonah, we find that Jonah is struggling here to remain focused upon God's will and God's plan for the people of Nineveh. In Jonah chapter 4, the Bible records his encounter with God following his preaching in that great city of Nineveh. So this morning, what I want us to look at is to think about what happens when someone loses sight of God's purpose. As we looked at chapter 3 last week, we saw what happened when Jonah went to Nineveh and preached. And I want us to pick up there this week, reading a couple of verses from chapter 3 to give us the context of the conversation that takes place in chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to look with me at Jonah chapter 3. We're going to read verse 5, and then we're going to read verse 10. And then we're going to read the first few verses of chapter 4. If you don't have your Bible, the scripture will be on the screen. You can read along with me on the screen. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When God saw," verse 10, "how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do for them, and he did not do it." Now in chapter 4, verse 1, scripture goes on and it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? We're going to stop there, and this morning we're going to take a few minutes to look at what happens when we lose sight of God's purpose. When we lose sight of God's purpose, the first thing I notice that happens is that we become angry very easily. We're very easily angered. Verse 1 in chapter 4 tells us that it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Why would Jonah become angry when the people of Nineveh actually followed what he asked them to do? Doesn't that seem a little bit idiotic, oxymoronic, or just moronic? I don't know. I mean, here he is. He said, repent, because God's going to destroy this city in 40 days. And so they listened to him. And he then becomes angry. Well, the reason he became angry is because he had lost sight of God's plan and purpose for the Ninevites. You see, it was God's plan and purpose all along for the people of Nineveh to repent. And verse 5 tells us that they did. They turned from their gods. They put on a fast. They put on sackcloth. And they mourned and repented of their evil ways. And as a result, then, God held back his judgment, held back his punishment. You see, I think the problem here is that Jonah wanted to be in control of what happened to the Ninevites. Jonah had his own plan and his own ideas as to what should happen. And that was, God's going to destroy this city in 40 days. And I want God to destroy this city in 40 days. Remember how his feelings toward the Ninevites. And when that didn't happen, he got his feelings hurt. Because he was not in control of what was happening. Folks, I wonder, what happens when we don't get our way in a situation? I can tell you what happens at my house. I am a perfect angel and I let people whatever. I mean, I don't know about your husband, but Joanna Allen's husband out. And I'll say, whatever you want to do, I'm fine. Whatever. But the fact of the matter is that's not what I'm communicating. Those are the words that are coming out of my mouth, but it's not what I'm communicating. I don't think I'm alone in this, or I wouldn't even bring it up, okay? When we don't get our own way, when things get out of our control, frankly, folks, we get angry. And can I just say, as a side note, if you are the kind of person that gets angry a lot, and this is something I've struggled with for many years of my life, if you're a person that gets angry a lot, then I would challenge you to examine God's plan and purpose taking place in your life right now. Because if you're becoming angry in these situations, then you're not seeing God's plan and you're not seeing God's purpose. Because when we lose sight of God's plan and purpose, we are easily angered. But secondly, we try to justify our outbursts. We try to justify ourselves. You see in verse 2, Jonah goes on and he prays a prayer. This is not a prayer of contrition by any means. This is a prayer that is filled with anger. And he prays and says, God, isn't this what I said? Have you ever heard that before in your household? Didn't I say this before this whole thing began? Didn't I say that I knew you were going to do this, and so that's why I went the other way? Do you see what he did there? Using God's character of mercy and compassion and grace, he uses that as an excuse for his disobedience and going the opposite direction of what God had called him to do. Jonah says, I knew from the very beginning that you wouldn't destroy Nineveh. That's why I left my country and headed for Spain. Folks, Jonah still did not think that the people of Nineveh deserved God's grace. And that's the essence of the problem here. He still has feelings of resentment toward them. Jonah still believed that the Lord, Yahweh, was exclusively the God of Israel, and his prejudice would not allow him to celebrate the repentance of that great city. He was angry, and he tried to justify his anger using the character of God. Did you notice how Jonah's justification and the defense of his actions sound really super spiritual? You see that in verse 2? Notice what he says. He's at the end of verse 2 in the contemporary English version, it says, God, you are a kind and merciful God, and you're very patient, and you always show love, and you don't like to punish anyone, not even foreigners. Now, this is actually a quotation from Exodus chapter 34. Chapter 34, verses 6 and 7 says, The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity. And so this is a quote from this passage. And the fact is that the words that Jonah is speaking here at the end of verse 2, are words that Jonah would have been taught all his life. But I don't think that Jonah realized that the implication of these words. Because if this is who God is, shouldn't we also be like God? He's using these words to justify his actions. And folks, when we lose sight of God's purpose in our lives, we often try to justify our actions and our attitudes by sounding super spiritual, when in reality, we are really outside his will. We all know how to use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, as justification for our behaviors. Let's be honest. We do. We become judgmental. We become angry at sin. We say things, person, social media, that are hate, that are hurtful things to say. And we justify ourselves saying, well, the Bible stands. Bible does stand against that. And we ought to stand up. God Anything beyond that, anything outside that, is outside God's purpose and plan for our life. See, when you lose sight of God's purpose, you become easily angered. You try to justify your outbursts. And number three, you become irrational. You become irrational. Notice what he says next in verse 3. He says, therefore, because you have forgiven these people of their sins, you have pushed off their judgment, you're not going to punish them, you're not going to do what I proclaimed that you were going to do to them. Because of that, God, take my life, because it is better for me to die than to live. Is that a rational thought coming out of Jonah at this point in time? Not at all. It's irrational. But folks, for a strong-willed, controlling person, there is nothing worse than not being able to be in control. Joanna and I have been watching on Amazon Prime Video the old episodes of The Amazing Race. I think they have something like 57 series now. We're up to the sixth year of the series. There was this portion where they were riding in a bus from Virginia to an unknown location. And they were actually going to Alabama, to the NASA training center in Alabama, about an 8-hour drive, but they didn't know where they were going. There was one young lady there that was totally losing it because she didn't know where she was going. It was driving her nuts to the point where she honestly almost had an emotional breakdown because she felt like she was a prisoner in this bus because she didn't know where she was going. She wasn't in control of her situation. For a strong-willed, controlling person, there is nothing worse than being unable to be in control. Through this process, Jonah discovered that he was unable to control God. God was going to do what God wanted to do, and there was nothing Jonah could do about it. Lloyd Ogilvie said, Jonah could not get the Almighty to repent, to change his mind, and to carry out Jonah's will that the Ninevites be destroyed for their wickedness. The only thing left that Jonah could control in his life was whether he would live or die. He got to that place where he felt so out of control of everything else, he said, the only thing I have left to control is whether I live or die. So he prayed, he cried out to God, take my life, because it is better for me to die than to live. Did you notice those words, better for me? In Jonah's estimation, in the way that Jonah was thinking, he said, it's better for me to die than to live. But what did we learn about our thought in comparison to God's thought? His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. How often are we guilty of trying to tell God what is best for our life? Have you done that? God, you know, I really need this job. God, I really need a new car. My old car is about to fall apart. God, I need you to... God, why can't you give me a job that gives me enough money to live? I'm faithful to you. I give all of these things. We may think, you know, it'd be better for me to have a better paying job. It would be better for me to have a better running car. It would be better for me to be able to pay my bills. But what we lose sight of is plan of God in our life.
And what is that? God wants. What better way to depend upon Him when you think the car might not start tomorrow? Right? Or you think that I don't know how I'm going to be able to pay that bill. Sometimes God through those situations so that on the other side, we are dependent upon Him. Now, as you heard earlier, we're about to start another Financial Peace University course, and we want people to have financial security. But you know what? Dave Ramsey's financial peace starts with peace with God. Dependence upon God. Putting God first in our finances. And that brings ultimate financial peace. How often are we guilty of telling God what is best? You know, why do we get in God's way as He's trying to carry out His purposes? God has a plan for our lives. Why do we get in the way of that plan? I think there are several reasons. And I actually pulled this from a sermon outline that Dr. Adrian Rogers, the late Dr. Adrian Rogers, preached on Isaiah 55, on why we get into God's way. And he had 8 points, 7 points here. So, you know, I feel pretty good if I've got 7 points. If Dr. Rogers could do it, I can at least try. But here are some of the things that he said about why we get into God's way. He says, number one, we don't see the big picture. We are finite beings. We cannot understand what God is trying to accomplish and how God is trying to accomplish it because His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He is infinite while we are finite. We cannot see the big picture. We fail to see this as God's tool to conform us to His image. Things may be happening in your life, and we need to understand that this is God's way of making us into the image of His Son. Number three, he said, we're ignorant of His plan. And number four, we're ignorant of His ways. I think the key word here is that we're ignorant. Amen? Stupid is as stupid does. Number five, he said, we're motivated by sincerity, but we are sincerely wrong. We want to do whatever, and we're sincere about it, but you can be sincere and still be sincerely wrong. Number six, it says, we feel the need to defend others. And number seven, we're selfish. All of these things are ways that we get in God's way in His carrying out His purpose. All of these things, if we really sit down and think about it, when we think about who is in control, all of these things are quite irrational. So finally this morning, when we lose sight of God's purpose, last point is that God will give us an opportunity to discover something new about Him and His character. God will give us an opportunity to discover something new about Him and His character. Verse 4, God asked Jonah, do you do well to be angry? Another way of saying that is it right for you to be angry about this? Jonah, do you really have a right to be mad at me right now? God said. Do we have the right to be angry with God? Do we have the right to be angry about our circumstances? Folks, God is going to take care of us. We don't always understand how and why, the wherefores and the therefores, but we know that God is going to take care of us. Do we have a right to become angry when circumstances don't fall in place just the way we think they ought to? God responded to Jonah and his request to take his life from him with a very simple question. Is it right for you to be angry? Well, if you look at this passage in verses 5 through 11, you notice some things that happens. Jonah went outside the city, and I think Jonah went out there to have a little pity party. And I think Jonah went out there hoping that, hey, you know what? Maybe God will change his mind and he will destroy the city and I'll just find a place to sit and watch him destroy it. And the scripture tells us in verse 6 that the Lord God appointed a plant to grow up and be a shade over Jonah's head to save him from his discomfort. That's pretty nice. Goes on and says the next day that God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on his head. And then here, once again, Jonah becomes weak, and he says, or he asks God, would you just please let me die? It is better for me to die than to live. And what did God do? He asked Jonah a question. Do you do well to be angry for the plant? This time, Jonah responded to God. He said, Jonah, do you have a right to be angry because this plant died? And Jonah said, yes, I have a right to be angry. Absolutely, I have a right to be angry. Angry enough to die, he says. And then in verse 10, the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And then he brings it all into perspective. Should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000? So what do we learn about God and his character here in these verses? Because that's what we said. When we lose sight of God's purpose, then we have an opportunity to discover something about God and his character. Well, the first thing I think we learn is that God is sovereign. Period. God is sovereign. He is in charge. He is in control of everything. If you remember in Jonah chapter 1, God appointed a great fish to come and rescue Jonah from drowning in the depths of the ocean. Notice those words. God appointed a great fish. In Jonah 4, God appointed a plant, and then God appointed a worm, and then God appointed a scorching east wind to teach Jonah the lesson that God wanted him to learn. Again, Isaiah 55 tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God wanted Jonah to learn a lesson, and that lesson was, I am in control of all things. Whether it's the fish, the plant, the worm, the wind, God is sovereign, and he is in control. There's a second thing that we learn about God's character here, and that is that God is a God of grace and a God of mercy always. God is a God of grace and mercy always. And you know what? I want to ask us the question this morning. If God is a God of grace and mercy, shouldn't we also be people of grace and mercy? Shouldn't we be extending grace and mercy to others as well? God calls us to be like him. And so we must be people of grace and mercy. The third thing that we learn about God's character here is that God is patient with us, even when we're stupid. God is patient with us. Look at chapter 4, verse 9 again. It says, "But God said to Jonah, 'Do you do well to be angry for the plant?' And he said, 'Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die.'" Talk about irrationality. When my concerns in this life are completely focused upon me, then folks, I'm being pretty selfish and pretty stupid. When everything I'm doing is focused upon me, then I'm being selfish and I'm being stupid. And thank God He is patient with me even still. Thank God He offers me grace and mercy even still. And thank God He's in control of everything that's going on, even though I'm trying to mess it up at every turn. God is a God of relentless grace. He pursues us. He does not give up on us. He brings circumstances into our lives to make us into His image. So my question is, how have you lost sight of God's purpose in your life today? What's God trying to accomplish in you today? What's happening in your life that maybe you're trying to take control of, but really, you just need to let go and let God? He is sovereign. He's going to take care of you. How have you lost sight? Do you become angry? Do you become irrational? Are you trying to justify your actions? Jonah did. Why? Because he was completely focused on himself. Completely and totally self-absorbed. This morning, I want to challenge you in this one simple way. And that is, I want you to ask yourself, what is God trying to do in my life? What's He trying to teach me? What's He trying to accomplish in me, through me? And see the circumstances that He has you in as God's plan and His purpose. Because folks, nothing you face today is a surprise to God. You hear me? Nothing that you're facing today is a surprise to God. He had this all planned out. It's His will. It's His purpose. What does He want you to learn in this process? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for an opportunity to speak Your word. Father, I thank You for the story of the prophet Jonah. And Lord, we know that he wasn't always the best example for us. But Lord, we know that we have a lot that we can learn from him because we identify with him so much. And so Father, as we come into this time of invitation and we think about the words that have been spoken this morning, I just pray, Father, that You would help us to examine our own lives and the way that You're working in them. Lord, help us to resign ourselves to Your will and trust in You to accomplish Your purposes in and through us. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.